This is Mark Mulcaster from Fan for Tracks, and you are listening to the Rebel Base Card Podcast. She may not look like much, but she's got it where it counts.
Then the Emperor has already won. You were our only hope.
You've seen the show, and like us, you have questions.
Ooh, that was a good one, but try this one on for size.
No question should be left off your list.
Whoa, 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 I got a crazy theory, but hear me out.
But you better have some spares.
Oh, that was one of mine. All right, let's do this instead.
With me, as always, is my friend and Card Squadron winger.
This is Greg Cass, a.k.a. Ion Cannon.
We've recorded at home and across the U.S.
Last summer, we were from the Boston Common. This week, we're in Chicago.
This is day three of celebration.
The show has had many names, but the purpose is the same. Let's share some time at the table.
Ding, ding, it's time for breakfast.
Welcome to The Breakfast Pack, a Rebel Base Card micro podcast series.
A returning Star Wars insert podcast series that asks more questions than it answers. Today on a special Breakfast Pack, right before Easter, we're asking questions on The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 9, The Harbinger, that aired on Disney Plus Wednesday, March 27th. With me again at the breakfast table, and at least in the same time zone as I am in St. Petersburg, he is in the Boston area, is my partner in crime and Card Squadron winger, Gregory Cass from IonCannon.com. I know this will probably air maybe after Easter or thereabouts, but I just wanted to say first, Happy Easter, and it sounds like a big day at the Cass residence.
Yes, Happy Easter. Thank you. It's good to be back. Happy Easter to you and yours. It looks like you've had a fantastic trip and gotten all over the state, as some of your art has shown, and as well as your pictures. So I've been very jealous as I've watched that. It's funny because devotees will know I went to Disney World last year, and part of my thinking was, let's do a big trip to Disney World, let's do it all and have that be kind of our one and done. And then seeing, you know, often Mary enjoying Disney World, recently LJ, and then you getting over to Disney Springs, I'm like, oh, maybe I need to go back to Disney next year instead, or some such. I don't know. The Coffee with Kenobi Star Wars cruise is also very tempting, so it's going to be hard to decide what to do in 2025.
Well, and then we've got Celebration as well, if someone's really daring and wants to go to Japan. But yeah, a lot of stuff, and I would say that Disney Springs, much like Downtown Disney when we were there at Celebration Anaheim, lots of shopping. You know, I guess people, you could take a day of it if you're kind of taking a day off from the parks, and, you know, it's free admission, free parking. And of course, you've got the Trader Outpost and Galactic Outpost. So if you can't get to, you know, Hollywood Studios to Batuu, you can certainly pick up your nubs. I did see a nubs or two there. So as well as other things. But yeah, it was nice. We spent a day over there, got to see Mary right before and Jazz right before we left. And then, a few days before, I'd gotten to hang out with David Motters and Aaron Harris of the Star Wars Reactions podcast. We met over in Lakeland. That's kind of like in between here and Disney. So got to hang out with them and do a little podcasting and thrifting. Star Wars thrifting, always a good idea. And then, yeah, we got back from Naples yesterday. And of course, if I go down 75 towards like Punta Gorda and all that, you've got some of the conversations people. So you got Charles and Pat down that way. So no matter where you kind of break down in the Florida area, someone's probably not that far away. but if you were joining us for the first time, if you're joining us for the first time, this is an insert series podcast in the regular feed where Greg and I are going to trade questions to each other that we haven't talked about before. Which means there's a chance, much like a fantasy draft, to swipe that person's choice. So you better have some spares. And what a episode to talk about today. Now, kooky theories are always on the board. I can also see them showing up today as well. I'll remind you, though, if you haven't seen this particular episode, this is your only warning that there's going to be spoilers for this show. Please, if you haven't seen the whole thing, definitely watch that first and come back and listen to the podcast and catch up and then see what everybody else has to say, because it's one of the reasons why I wanted to get this episode quickly in the books, because I think there's a lot to discuss. And based off some of the other other episodes we've done in this series, as well as the Acolyte trailer, everybody's just really enjoying all the Star Wars. All righty. I think we'll forego the Greg's list this week because I did want to kind of jump into some of the questions, although I would say for traveling, especially on the Florida interstates, things like the Cantina cast and conversations and and reactions and even the Colby cast are very good because those go quite some time and it's nice to kind of listen to everybody.
I'll agree to skip the Greg's list, but I got to throw in one, which is thank you to Greg, but especially to Colby for filling my chair last week when we just couldn't coordinate. Very enjoyable. Always pleased when Colby takes my chair because it is a treat to listen to. So kudos on that. Lots of Pop-Tart talk. And so thank you for that. And we can jump right into the episode.
No, and thank you for reminding me that. And yeah, Colby did a great job. And it's really been fun to see everybody kind of like dance around to the different shows. And that's the beauty of having a long season. You know, we talked about The Acolyte. It's only going to be 8 episodes. You know, hopefully there's more than one season because there's a lot to talk. There's a lot to chew on that one. And I think those episodes are only going to be about a half hour long. So it's going to be like, you know, you're going to have a half hour episode and about a 2 to 3 hour discussion, I'm sure, for maybe not our podcast, but for everybody else's. All right. So nice. I think we're going to go ahead and dive right into this one because I am curious, where are you even going to go for this first question?
I think we have to just start with the big one, which is why did I reread Dark Disciple? No. So that is my way of saying how did you feel about the return of Asajj Ventress? So if people have been on social media, I would say the general reaction is we're glad she's here, but frustrated that they really left kind of a blank on how she came back and where she came from. So I would love to just hear your first thoughts on what it felt like to see that character again for you. Did you like it? And then this kind of, you know, the somehow Asajj Ventress has returned meme that's already been popular everywhere. How do you feel about that? Do you think they owed us more of an explanation or how do you feel?
I love the way they did it because, you know, as you go back into Pabu and you think that's going to be their safe place, and we've kind of talked that we don't really have high hopes for this place. And so if Asajj can find it, then, you know, like, I think it's going to get worse. And what is the, who was it? Blast Points. There was a tweet that put out that I think one of them had seen it and said, it's going to get really dark. I think he'd seen all but the finale. And so you start to go, well, it kind of makes sense that she comes in maybe faster than we thought. We thought we were going to maybe see some bounty hunters first, and then they're going to serve up Asajj cold, you know, as you know, I'm sure her mood is, but not having finished Dark Disciple, but really liking the character, I'm happy she's back. You know, I guess it's one of those things now. I think that you can amend your saying until we see a body. And I think now we should say at least until we see a body buried. I think everything's on the table. But I did like how, you know, she kind of was like, hey, whose side are you on? Mine. So, you know, we see her in, you know, in the haircut and the yellow lightsaber and, you know, got in and nobody saw her coming. So I would say that I do believe I heard somewhere that there's going to be more on how she came back, but I like the fact that now that ties into Fennec's communication. So now that we know it was kind of like they're working together and, you know, I think everybody's already like, where is the Asajj Fennec series, whether it's going to be a book or comic book or whatnot, but I'm happy she's back. And I think she did a really bang up job. I don't know after Darth Maul, I think anything's on the table for, you know, for the last 25 years. If we're celebrating the Phantom Menace at 25, we're also celebrating, well, are they really dead or are we just going to enjoy and do that stretch? What about yourself?
I mean, yes. And by everybody wanting the Fennec Asajj Ventress series, you mean Ross Holubin wanting the Fennec Asajj Ventress series.
True.
No, it's not just him, but he's the loudest voice, certainly. I know he's the CWK guest this week. I haven't listened yet because I like to go into our episodes pure, but I'm sure that's at least 30% of the runtime of that particular episode. So I, you know, it goes back to this idea, and I think I've said before, I'm a huge fan of Star Wars books and comics. I read everything that comes out. I keep my eye on the canon. And I was a huge fan of Legends, and I think the moment they reset the canon, a lot of people got really upset that the books were no longer true, right? And I was not that upset. I love Legends. There are a lot of great stories. I have a lot of good memories, but it was fine that we were resetting it in my mind. And yet when they did that, they gave this promise that everything counts now, and it really counts. And don't worry, it really counts. And I think what we've learned, especially over the last 3 or 4 years, is that it all counts till somebody wants to tell a different story. And I think that's what ends up frustrating a lot of fans. Now, that's not me, but I want to say I'm sympathetic to it, because you were told this counts. And Dark Disciple in particular is a beloved book. And, you know, I think we danced around it last time it came up, but, you know, Asajj does not survive that book. And she's a Night Sister, and there's lots of paths that we can imagine. But I think it's really frustrating to have such a, what fans see as such a perfect story, undone without any kind of explanation. And, you know, this is a burden of modern Star Wars. There are Clone Wars fans who have no idea what happened in Dark Disciple and just see Asajj come back and they're like, sweet, this is great. I liked her. I wondered where she ended up. And I don't fault those fans at all either. So I think basically what I'm saying is Lucasfilm should not have made that promise that they made unless they were going to stick with it. And yet I'm somebody who wants every storyteller to get to tell the story they want. And does it really affect my love of Dark Disciple to know she comes back? No. And I think you're right that it gives a lot of opportunities for these characters moving forward. And I think a lot of people saw the potential of kind of Master Apprentice in this episode. And that could be a story told in the future with an older Omega, perhaps, if Omega survives this series. Or the other theory I've seen a lot online is let's get some Tales of the Jedi episodes, right? We know that the first season of that show was Ahsoka and Count Dooku to kind of fill in some of the prequel era, I'll call them gaps, even though that sounds a little more serious, but some of the story of those characters. And I think the Ahsoka ones in particular helped set up parts of her character for that show. So maybe we'll get some Asajj episodes that fill in kind of, we've seen flashes of her life before Count Dooku, but we could fill those in, and then we could see what happened. I mean, you could tell Dark Disciple in those episodes as well. So I trust Filoni and the team, and they did say there will be more content coming forward. I think if it's a novel or a comic book, you're going to please no one, because the comic book and novel fans are going to say, we've been here, you're not fooling us again. And the non-reader fans are going to say, I'm not reading a comic book or novel to figure that out, because I think there is a segment of fandom that's frustrated by that. Setting aside all those frustrations, though, for me is just we get to see Asajj, and it was cool, and it was a well-told story, so I'm in. I only regret rereading Dark Disciple as prep, but I do not regret the anticipation or the enjoyment of that story once again. So it's a funny place to be in. So, but I've rambled. Give me one of your questions to move into.
It's funny because, you know, my first one was, you know, yes, you took that one, but how would you not have that one be probably the first question that in everybody's mind? But I think I made it about two words, and I was like, just how? I think that was about my question. I was like, how? But yeah, you just go that everything in this series is kind of leveled up a bit, and you go, okay. And so, you know, I think we're just in for such a great ride. I am curious kind of what you thought, and just kind of pining this, because I think there's a lot of questions around Asajj in this. But I'm kind of curious, what do you think, you know, what do you think her angle in coming, and, you know, obviously that, you know, like when Hunter comes in and he goes, you know, we haven't heard anything from Fennec. So in the one case, you know, you could say that they could have radioed this in, or they could have phoned it in or sent an email. Asajj came in person to Paboo. My question to you is, why did Ventress come and find them to deliver the intel, as it were?
That's a good question. And I guess I'll just say I'm going to spoil some parts of Dark Disciple in my answer to this question. So if people really want to not know anything about that novel, maybe skip forward until you hear Greg's voice again. So I have a lot of questions, but the fact that she seems to be their way to figuring out that we finally got the word midichlorian in one of these shows. I think some prequel fans were thinking that we were never going to hear that word because of its bad connotations. And it was just going to be M count from now on. But it was good to hear that word. And I think she has an eye on that issue, right? Very much how I feel about Ventress in this episode. She's very much where Ahsoka was at roughly the same time period, which is totally unmoored from the past ideology and trying to work in this new post-republic empire centered universe. And we know Ahsoka went into hiding and then eventually became Fulcrum with Bail Organa and then the larger Rebels crew, all of which was, you know, symbolized by her white lightsabers. And here we have Asajj no longer with red, but with a yellow lightsaber, which again puts her in that kind of neutral space. It is also interesting because that aligns her with Rey, right? And so, you know, it's like poetry, it rhymes. We have to think about where is Rey at the end, because we think Rey's rebuilding the Jedi Order. We have a film coming out. So that all leads me to say, what is Asajj up to? And I think it has something to do with Jedi. Let's take a look at some of the events of Dark Disciple, because that helps us answer this question of why Ventress might come in person. And so to spoil Dark Disciple a little bit, Ventress spends a lot of that book connected to Master Quinlan Vos. And so Quinlan Vos, people will remember from the Clone Wars. And in the plot of Dark Disciple, the two of those characters eventually fall in love. There's some back, there's some forth. And then Quinlan Vos eventually loses Asajj at the end of that book, because as we mentioned, Asajj doesn't survive that book. If somehow Asajj returned, then I think it's only natural to think that she probably hooked up again with Quinlan Vos. And we know from the show Obi-Wan Kenobi that Quinlan Vos survived Order 66 and was connected to the path. Because when Obi-Wan makes it to that first planet, he goes up to the wall and he says, Quinlan was here, right? And so we know that Quinlan either used the path, or I think maybe more likely helped lead the path, helped make the pathway which could get Jedi to safety. So all that is to say, my prediction of why Asajj came in person is I think she's working for the path, and I think she was there to see if Omega is another Jedi that needs to be entered into the path and taken to safety. We are still not sure if the path leads to just hiding or if the path leads to some kind of academy or training place or something, but there's a lot of potential storytelling there. So I think Asajj came in person to see if this was really a Force-sensitive clone and to piece those pieces together and to look and see if this could be a path to get Omega to safety as part of those efforts. Now, that takes your suggestion of tinfoil hat and runs with it, but that's my big answer to that. I think she came in person because of all those reasons.
And that's really amazing. And no, yeah, I think we could use the whole role of tinfoil today to go through this. But I like that, because if that's the case, she's really holding to the vest. You know, she gave no indication other than, you know, like the whole time the Bad Batch is thinking, you know, that she's going to take her and turn her over to the Empire. And so, and I don't think she really dispelled that to a certain extent. I think she was more than happy to let people, you know, like them and us, question why she's there. But I did think it interesting that she did come out. But, you know, I don't know if she's working that angle. I don't see it as of yet, because I still think that maybe it's still early enough and she's just doing jobs, or she's just trying to, like, you know, kind of manage her own affairs at this time on her own. And maybe that's why it'd be interesting to see how she met Fennec. And, you know, boy, wouldn't there be a story there. But yeah, you're right. I think anybody on the books or the comic books would probably be like, okay, we're going to take some of this with a grain of salt. But I would say at this point, I like your theory, but I don't think it's happened just yet. But anything that would produce a Quinlan Vos at some point, and there'd be another follow-up question, is like, where does Quinlan show up? Where does Quinlan show up first, in live action or again in a animated series? Which would, where do you put your bets there? But I think at this time, maybe it's just her curiosity is there. Maybe it's, you know, maybe she feels a little bit of that, but maybe it's not yet. Or maybe it's just not as organized and she's just seeing who's out there on the field of play. And maybe she wants to know what the Empire, maybe she didn't know what the Empire was doing. And maybe that was more to get firsthand intel so that she could keep them, make sure they don't come after her.
Yeah, I think the point that it's too early is very well taken. I mean, we're now, with all the time jumps we've had in the series, we're like a year, year and a half after Order 66. So that would be pretty quick to kind of reconnect. And we don't really know how long Asajj was buried, if she was buried for however long. So I think it's right to call that into question. And maybe I'm just pitching a Disney Plus show. That sounds like a great show. And
I
think Albert was pitching that from the moment Asajj was in the trailer, was Quinlan, Asajj, and Omega out starting the path, which that sounds great. I'll jump over to my next question so I don't ramble. So I think there's another really big one here. I had to talk about Asajj first, but the second one is, I just wrote it as, is she or isn't she? So lots of long-running kind of theories confirmed that we should at least be asking the question of whether Omega is the first Force-sensitive clone. And that's something we've been talking about since season one. And I thought it was really interesting that we've talked about it in the context of her bonding so well with creatures. And that was specifically one of the tests Ventress decided to do it. Now, I would say the text of the show is that those Force powers did not yet exist at a level that Asajj could sense them. I did cheat a little on my rules and read a little bit of Jen's long take review already and see that Jen was asking this question as well to say, did they really close the door on that? Or is it really just opening the door so that when she confirms her powers in three or four episodes, we accept it? So my question to you, is she or isn't she? Where do you think Omega and her Force powers sit?
Great question. And I would say that this was at a moment where I was copying verbatim the captions, because I think everything that was coming out of Ventress's mouth, I think the words were chosen so carefully. Let's go over a couple of quick sentences. And I think she said, everyone has it, but at varying levels. Fair enough. That kind of confirms when you even think about Sabine.
And take that, midichlorian haters from Phantom Menace 25 years ago, right? That's exactly a part of that. But go on.
Everybody's got the force. I also liked this sentence. Those with a high count, comma, were believed to be more capable of wielding the force, which I think also kind of opens a door. And I think, like I said, it kind of points back to me, points back to Sabine, and in which case you could train just about everybody, right? I think Ahsoka was sort of like it, but even Ventress, I think it takes discipline and training to be able to take whatever you have at whatever level you have and use it. So and then of course, I think we kind of figure out that because she has a higher count and they've tested a lot of clones, she has some potential to be used either as like an M count mule, or to move, maybe move Papa Palps from point A to point B, or something else, something even more sinister, because we know Hemlock's there. But I think it was about as, let's see, if Omega had that potential, she'd have to be trained, which would mean leaving you behind. That was the other phrase I think I took away from that. But I thought the words were chosen very carefully, but I think it led us to believe that she has a high M count. She has, she doesn't have any kind of abilities that are just oozing out, right? They're just like, she's not moving fruit around on her own and has no idea and really doesn't seem to have any kind of, I mean, I think she was anybody's excited to say, can I be a Jedi? But I don't think that that was something that was anything she was really that interested in at this time. Although now that you've took that genie out of the bottle, what now does she say? Is that something going to be in her mind as well?
I absolutely love that you took down those quotes, because I think you're right. On my Wheel of Time show, we have a group of characters that are by magic not allowed to lie. And you have to parse the dialogue so carefully to see their kind of lies of omission or their half-truths. And that's exactly what you just did there, right? It's the same kind of structure that, like, they are definitely not closing that door. And to your excellent comments, I would just add, boy, did that remind me of Grogu and Mando, right? That, you know, Mando had to give, or at the end of season two, Mando gave up Grogu to go train. And then we see that in Book of Boba Fett, which is still a weird choice. that's where Grogu leaves Luke Skywalker because he simply can't do that, right? And it feels very much like Omega is in the same moment. She is too attached to the crew and to the clones to leave that family and go off and train, presumably with Asajj or with somebody, right, who's out there. Boy, does that make me nervous for what happens at the end of the show, because if that's the one thing keeping her from her destiny, it seems like you might be preparing us to lose the clone family and give her a reason to go find her greater destiny. I mean, that is pure Joseph Campbell, you know, first quarter of the hero's journey, and it feels like it's a big possibility. And I would be very interested to see how fans feel if the end of this story is some kind of sacrifice of the whole batch, except Omega gets to carry on and go become a Jedi. Again, we're in the tinfoil deeply, but that seems like a possibility as we head into these last six episodes. Yeah. Oof.
Jeez. Well, and also it's sort of like, you know, is her destiny to just hone her force abilities so you can be another Jedi, or is it to serve another good in another way? You know, do you prefer her as a possible Jedi, or do you prefer her as a hero, another type of hero that, you know, so how do you like your hero served, I guess, since we're talking at breakfast this morning? But that's so interesting. All right. Tell you what, let me throw this one to you, because we kind of, you know, on the one hand, you could say, were you surprised that she did so poorly on her testing? That's a small one.
I wasn't for the first two. And then when it got to the third and it was a real crisis, I thought we were going to get the kind of, you know, when Leia uses her force to fly back into the Raddus in Last Jedi, it was always compared to when you hear about a mother whose child is in danger and can suddenly lift a car with the adrenaline, right? And so I thought when it got to that crisis level, I was like, well, here it is. She's going to now prove her abilities. And you know, Grogu lifting the Mudhorn came to mind at that moment as well, too. Like, you know, when there's a crisis. So I was very surprised that she didn't realize her powers this episode, but I'm in the camp that it will come out more in the future. What came to mind is so often is Rey on Octo, right? The kind of testing and first two lessons she does with Luke. It's a little different, but the visual language was very similar. We're on an island. We're seeing a lot of that same scenery. And some of the individual shots were framed. There have been some great Instagram posts that show this. The shots were framed to look like Last Jedi, which is very, very cool. But I thought of that, and I thought of Qui-Gon at the end of Kenobi when Obi-Wan says essentially, like, finally you showed up. And Qui-Gon says, I've been here the whole time. You just weren't ready to listen. And I feel like Omega's force powers are saying, we've been here the whole time. You just weren't ready to listen and weren't ready to really use them. And that links into that training question you said last time. So that I ended up being satisfied, even if it surprised me that it didn't manifest at the end. And what is good storytelling except not meeting our expectations and telling us something bigger? So how did you feel about it?
I thought it was kind of interesting. I, you know, like I said, they're keeping it close to the vest by having her not have any, you know, obvious type of power. And on the one hand, I could also see that, you know, without any kind of training, she wouldn't even know to, like, you know, like, as we kind of go back to Sabine with the cup, you know, she kind of looks at it and it takes eventually for her to kind of focus and do something. But without any kind of training at all, it could just stay latent. Or maybe that's because she, you know, she has the ability to copy. Maybe we've seen it with, you know, her ability to with Batcher. My gosh, we've made it a half hour in and haven't talked about Batcher. But maybe we've seen it there all the time, but she has an affinity to deal with animals and, you know, the empathy, and maybe the fact that she is good at firing a weapon, or, you know, without that much military training. And so, you know, maybe it's just that in some ways, maybe a lot of people are this way in this universe, where it's just like, you know what, you're a good shot. That's how they tap into it. So it'd be interesting in some cases if they went down that road and found something, a different way to do it, rather than just the classic, let's move a rock, let's open a door. But you never know.
Yeah, my good friend Carl on Wampa's Lair certainly thinks that, you know, one way to interpret the whole galaxy is anybody who has a really strong skill could be using the Force but not knowing it. So Han Solo is one of his favorite characters. And it's like, Han is a great pilot. So what if he's actually kind of using the Force in his own way, but it's not that in his mind, right? It's just luck, not that, but it's his own way of tapping into it. And your comments there are reminiscent of that. Like, maybe it is some kind of latent Force ability that we're just not seeing. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that, hey, the rest of the batch is here too, not just Asajj and Omega. So, here's something I had a little trouble with in this episode, which is, you know, they kind of don't realize who she is, and then they realize who she is, and it's instantly like, we should take her out. And my kind of question is, like, why do they care anymore? So, you know, to me, this Asajj they're meeting is a war criminal. They're not wrong, and she killed a lot of people, but she did so fighting against the Republic, which the Bad Batch now knows, with beyond a reasonable doubt, was evil and under the control of, you know, a Sith Lord, and everything is bad. So it's very interesting to me, because I think we've been thinking about the Bad Batch becoming rebels. They are separatists now by all stretch of the imagination, and yet they still seem to harbor this deep grudge, and the show suggests it's righteous to want to kill Ventress. So my simply worded question is, why do they care about who she is and what she has done?
Thank you. I've never been so happy to have someone take my question, because my question was like, why do you think they were so hell-bent on fighting their way through Ventress instead of questioning her? You know, they're all looking for information, yet they are, you know, I think it's pretty clear that she could have, you know, after the first couple of tussles, that she could have run them through without even breaking a sweat. That's where I kind of felt like, you know, you kind of want somebody to kind of snap out and go, hey, look, you're trying to look for answers, chums. Why don't you go ask someone who has a lot before you try to, you know, like, yeah, she took away your guns. All right, let's get our guns back. All right, we're going to try to shoot her again. Like, come on, guys. But yeah, this is another one where they kind of are assigned. The one that I thought that I kept looking, and I think it's just because we spent so much time without Crosshair. I think anytime Crosshair spoke to Ventress, and even that last where, you know, they hop off the overturned ship, and he helps her into the Havoc Marauder. I thought that was a great little moment, but only really Crosshair, you know. It's one of those where it's like, Hunter, you probably should have paid more attention to him, but I mean, I don't know. But yeah, I was a little disappointed, and I was like, she could have, you know, we're all looking for like exposition. I'm like, can someone just tell us something, please? I don't care what mode it is. You can kill each other later. Just tell us now. But what did you think?
I don't know. It seemed like almost like they were going back to their old programming or something. It's like, this is a separatist and we have to take her out. I mean, I guess the real answer is she was evil, and it's not wrong to say she killed a lot of clones in cold blood, even, you know, in the context of war, that doesn't necessarily excuse all her actions, because she was cruel and merciless so often. So I think probably the simplest answer is just the resentment there overwhelmed them. And that makes sense, right? I mean, we hear in the real world about veterans who have to fight impulses towards hatred or bigotry towards their former enemy, right? And, you know, that's because that the way the mind works and so on, even though conflict is over or they're out of a war zone. So there could be a little of that there. I will not waste the opportunity to shout out HoloNet Marauders, among many others on the internet, pointed out it's really easy to start shipping the pair of Crosshair and Asajj Ventress. However, as I saw on the internet, the romantic name for that couple unfortunately becomes Asshair. So you really don't want to ship them under that name, or you're going to have to lean into the pronunciation a little differently. But I do think it is curious to me how many of the kind of fan community quickly grabbed onto that as like, you know, these two have a lot in common. They've been, you know, good soldiers following orders for a political cause that eventually tossed them aside. And it seems natural that they are kind of drawn together. And you're right that they are fleeting small moments, but it seems like a chance to really, you know, draw them together. And that could be a cool story.
Yeah, I also wanted to thank Sam Tashima for, you know, asking another interesting question as far as like, how much does Asajj see herself in Omega, which I thought was a nice sort of observation as far as, yeah, once again, you said like, yes, they're both kind of, you know, like everybody is kind of just a pawn of all this. And, you know, maybe Asajj, maybe that's part of why, you know, how she got here is, you know, she maybe is trying to do a bit of a renewal or a rebirth of trying to, you know, now that my path is clearly something else, what opportunities do I have for, you know, changing a life or changing somebody else's life? But I like it when people send in questions and comments about it. And yeah, right. Especially this weekend of all weekends, as you know, we are, you know, pulling laundry out and getting ready to take our adventure back up north. It's just the way of the world is. But before we let you go, I just wanted to give, because we'd forgotten this before, what is your Pringles can rating for this episode?
I got to say, I was hoping for a 10 out of 10 when Asajj showed up, and I'm not there, which feels so disappointing. However, all the unexpected force, goodness, training materials, all of that, I'm going to go 9 out of 10, which I think is my high mark for this season so far still, even if it's not 10 out of 10 Pringles cans. What do you think, Greg?
I'm going to agree with that. I think 9. I think the, you know, bringing a fan favorite back, and, you know, we're like, okay, we'll figure out how, you'll figure out how to write your way out of this. But I do think it was a great, great episode. I think that in spite of the batch, you know, batch be batching, I do think that we got a lot out of this episode, and we did actually, you know, we get the midichlorian back, and we push the ball forward. And I do think that from this point going forward, I think it's just going to get really intense. So let's just bring it on. But I thought it was a great episode. And like I said, I think if there were a couple more answers, I probably would have gave it a 10. But, you know, they always like keeping that information close to the vest. All right. Well, as we get ready to let you go, let's let people know where they can find you online.
Please find me on social media at IonCannon, EYEONCANON. Just want to say again, this episode was a lot of fun, and I think as we look forward, we're now decidedly into the end of this. I think the end game has started, and the fact they gave the next set of episodes to the influencer types, I think means that, you know, they're seeing this as kind of the run up to the finale, and they don't want to spoil the finale. So that's the one they're holding back. And then we do have a two shot this week, I think, as well, on the schedule. So it's another like question mark, because to me, that's really interesting, because the Fennec episode and this one could easily have been one day, right? They kind of were a continuing story. So I continue to be curious about what is making the programmers decide when to double up and when to go single episode. So that remains an open question, even if it just gives us a slightly busier week. And I will, while I have the mic, just say listeners should reach out and tell us what they thought about this episode and help us. We can give it a little more attention at the start of next episode, since we're giving it a kind of rush job today for scheduling reasons. But good discussion, Greg. I think you made me appreciate it more.
No, and once again, thank you. Especially like anytime we talk about like the last couple of weeks, we you know spring break, Easter coming up, and you know as we're kind of getting into like the later half of the school year or school years, or you know, getting into the spring, it's just a lot of things going on, and it's really fun to get a chance to sit and talk, especially with an episode like this. And it'll be fun when we're back back in our regular chairs. You are in the batch cave this morning, but have a lot to do today. But mm-hmm. anyway, and again, it's always great when people reach out. If you have a question for the Breakfast Pack on any of the socials, you know, X, Instagram, Facebook, Hive, Blue Sky, or even email the program, greg@rebelbasecard.com. We'd love to hear what your thoughts and your questions for this episode and what's going to be happening the rest of the season. All right. But we got stuffs to do today, and we got places to go and people to see. So for Greg Cass and myself, I'm Greg McLaughlin. We are now going to return you to your podcast playlist. Already in progress.
This podcast is not affiliated in any way with Topps, Disney, or Star Wars, nor is it endorsed by Disney or Lucasfilm, and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. All names and sounds and any other related items are properties of their respective trademarks and or copyright holders here in the U.S. and abroad. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com.
That's it.